All right, so yesterday we had a discussion with regards to a woman who takes a neder mishtei kikarot. Right, she takes a neder from two kikarot. One of them is inui nefesh, and one of them is not inui nefesh. Does the husband have the right to be made for both aspects of the neder, or only one aspect? There was a machlokus we saw in Muraim that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmua, that because he can be made for the one that's inui nefesh, he can also be made for the one that is not inui nefesh. Whereas Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said that you can be made for the inui nefesh, but not the part that was not inui nefesh. And the Ram pointed out that he thought the machlokus had to do with respect to the requirement that when a baal is made for, he's made for kol haneder, kulei. You have to be made for the entire nether. Question is, what is the entire nether? Right? According to Rabbi Shmuel, entire nether means literally the whole nether. That's why he can be made for both the inui and the non-inui aspect. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he has to be made for all the nether that he's entitled to be made for. And what's that? That's inui nefesh. And the pasuk of Yishai Yifenu Yisrael Kemeter is written by La'anot Nefesh. So that is, by the inui nefesh is the part that he's required to be made for, that kulei, that aspect. The Ran also pointed out maybe a difference between inui nefesh and beino lebeina. Whereas by inui nefesh, there might be an ability to be made for the entire nether. Amar Yehuda Shmuel, that both the inui and the non-inui aspect, whereas beino lebeina, he can only be made for the aspect that is beino lebeina. And that's why we have other places where he can be made for himself and not for achirim. Because that is not the requirement of kulei, first of all, does not exist there. It's only by inui nefesh. And number two, the dvarim beino lebeina, right, the only part that is relevant to be made for is the part that is an issue between him and her. That's the way it is yesterday. Now the Gemara is going to bring questions today on those two shittos. Eitavei, we're starting at the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Beis. Gemara poses the question, Eitavei, Haisha, Shinadra B'Nazir. Woman took a neder nazir, Baita, Shote Yain, Umutameh L'Meitim. Utameh L'Meitim. She took the neder nazir and was not doing a good job keeping it. She was drinking wine and being metame the mason. So she gets malchus, right? She's violating her neder nazir, and therefore she will get malchus. That's not really relevant to what we're after. Now, hefer lo bala. Now, if her baal was made for it, vehi lo yada, even if she's not aware of it, shefer la, vaitashotayayin, metame the mason, enos sofeget et arabayin. She does not get malchus. Because her husband was made for the neder, even though she is violating the nether in her own mind, I mean, in her own mind, she does not know that it's a nether de mufar, and nevertheless, she's drinking wine and being matama the meitim. She is not chayevet in malko because the husband was made for the nether. So again, anyway, so far, pretty innocuous Mishnah from Nazir. Just point out Rabbi Kiva says here, others, you know, the other Tanoi mentioned about the fact that even though she is not chayevet in Malkus, she still really needs requires slicha mechila, because in her own mind she was violating the nether, even though she in actuality wasn't, because her husband was made for the nether. She was not aware of the hafara, and therefore what her actions were negative actions, even though they don't end up being a violation of the nether because the nether was already mufar. But nevertheless, her actions in her own mind were not actualized when she had knowledge of the hafaras of nether, when she still thought she was under the requirements of the nether. All right, now viamart. If you say mefer lemitane, ve'enu mefer she'enu mitane. If you say that the husband can be mefer for only the inu nefesh aspect and not the inu nefesh part, dilma. So let us say minayayin diislutzara hefer la minachatzan minazak lo hefer la. Let's say that the husband was made fair the nazirus, but only the inui nefesh aspect of nazirus. What's that? A nazir is not allowed to partake in wine. He's also not allowed to partake in grape products. So, which is considered inui nefesh? Only the wine aspect is considered, right, a inui nefesh, whereas the grape products are not. So there, but why don't we say that the husband was made fair the wine aspect, her inability to drink wine, he'll be made fair with regards to nisirut. But with regards to hartzan and zag, which are the pits and the skins of the grapes, right, maybe he did not, and she'd still be restricted like that. Taha lo is lo tzaro, because there's no tzaro, there's no inui nefesh, but tispo get arbaim, and therefore if she's drinking wine, or if she's eating grapes, over there, she could still be violating the net there, even though he was made for it. Maybe he's only made for the Inui aspect. So this is a question on the position of Rav Ashi and Rabbi Yochanan, says that when you're made for the nether, you're only made for the Inui aspect, not the non-Inui aspect. You don't like it.
I don't understand it. I don't know if it's bad. I don't like it. I just don't understand it. So when he's made for the nether for the wine, because he doesn't want her to be...
That's Inui nefesh. That's right. That's a something that is...
So why would that not include these other people?
Right, because that's what Rav Ashi and Rabbi Yochanan are suggesting, that when the vow's right, the husband's right to be made for the nether is only with regards to things that are Inui nefesh. And so...
But why is that Inui nefesh?
Because wine was considered much more of a staple product than probably today, but you can't have Kiddush, can't have Abdullah, can't drink wine at meals. That's considered Inui Nefesh for the woman. Whereas the grape products weren't, grape juice and grape products were not as prevalent in terms of their daily life needs.
Okay,
why can't you say that he was made for the Nazirus, as the clown, Nazirus, and the Nazirus brings on Tsar and this form and that form and that form.
Alright, so the Gemara's going to answer, the Gemara's going to answer something exactly like that. That the nether is not a nether from wine, a nether from grapes, it's a nether Nazirus. There's only a thing on, there's no such, you can't break Nazirus into pieces. And that's basically what the Gemara's going to answer. That's the Gemara's answer, so maybe that's just bothering you, that's exactly what the Gemara's going to say. So Amar of Yosef, ain't Nazirus b'chatzayim. Exactly that. You can't have half a Nazirus. Meaning that it's one thing if she took a nether from two kikarot, you can split them up into one kikar and another kikar. If it takes a nether to zibut, there's a single nether that has hashlachot, has implications, which is that those implications are that you are now restricted in wine, restricted in metana lemeitim, you have all these other restrictions that come from being a nazir, but that's not, those aren't individually the items that are asur. And so therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, if there's no half nizirut, then he can't, if he's made for any aspect, he's basically made for nizirut, the nizirut falls away. So I'm like Abaye. I don't know if Abaye, what Abaye says, I'm not sure, is whether it's really a question, or if he's just modifying what Rabbi Yosef said to improve on what Rabbi Yosef said. Because I don't know if his question is such a strong question, because I don't know if Rabbi Yosef really implied this. But Amar Abaye, high carbon lechatzim nizirut ika. Based on what you're saying, there's no nizirut lechatzim. Maybe there is a carbon for lechatzim nizirut. Meaning that if the husband, after we know stam nizirut is 30 days, so a woman takes this another nizirut, she's now in the zirah for 30 days. What happens 15 days into it? The husband comes ahead and is mayfair the nether. It's made for the nether. So now she doesn't have to keep the nizirut anymore, but she kept as much of the nizirut that she was required to. Does she bring the karbanot nizirut or not? I mean, usually at the end of the 30 days, you bring karbanot nizirut. Is that requirement now incumbent upon this woman because she had a chatz nizirut? So biasing implied from Rabbi Yosef's statement is that there's no nizirut chatzayim. You can't have a half nizirut, but you can have a nizirut that was half complete. If you can have a nizirut that's half complete, then you would have to bring the karbanot after 15 days of nizirut. So that Abaye doesn't like that. So El Amar Abaye ain't nizirut the chatzayim, ain't karban the chatzayim. So Abaye completes the statement again. I don't know if Abaye's question is so strongly posited against Rabbi Yosef, or he's just using the question as a platform to modify, or to clarify what Rabbi Yosef said. So Abaye says, ain't nizirut the chatzayim, ain't karban the chatzayim. Not only is there not nizirut the chatzayim, meaning that you can't knock out isurim from the zirut. I mean, you can't knock out the wine and leave the grapes and the grape products in, but not only that, but even if you have a half nizirut, if the vow is made for the nizirut before it reaches completion, the woman does not bring karbanot. Ain't karban lechatzayim. There's no karban for a portion of it.
Maybe it's a machlokas. I don't remember Hilchos Nizirus so well, but maybe it's a machlokas between Abaye and Yosef as to whether or not the karban is ma'akid nizirus.
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's a machlokas between Abaye and Rav Yosef as to whether or not the carbon is ma'akim the nazirus.
I don't think there's a machlokas. There's a machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah, in the Zirus. It's machlokas tanoim about which of the carbonos allow him to start to drink wine. Does he have to bring all three carbonos to start drinking wine? Only one of the carbonos to start drinking wine again?
Right.
That's a machlokas tanoim, not amoraim. Rav Yosef and Abaye are discussing. I'm not sure it's an argument. I'm not sure that Abaye is really disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef. It feels to me more like he's modifying, or he's just explaining. He's just giving a broader explanation of what it means. I don't know. That's just my, it's a gut feel. I don't know. I can't say that. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Meitave Haisha shenadra b'nazir." So now we say this question is based on the fact that we just said that there is no such thing as karbanah chatzim. Meitave Haisha shenadra b'nazir. She took an edit of the zirut, right? The hifrisha b'hemta, and she already set aside the animals that are appropriate for the nazirut. Then her baal is made for the neder. She brings the chatas of, but she does not bring the olat ha'of. Right now, the implications here are what type of nizirut we're talking about here. The end of nizirut, right, you bring the two times that a nazir can bring korbanot. So what are those? That is, if the nazir completes nizirut b'tahara, finishes up the nizirut, the end of nizirut, you bring korbanot, right? You bring actually three korbanot. What are the three korbanot that you bring at the end of a nizirut? Right, so there, if you bring a chatas, an ola, and a shlamim. Right, the chatas, ola, and shlamim are the ends of the nizirut. Whereas if a nazir becomes tamei, in the middle, then you bring an asham, and an olatof, and a chatatof. Okay, so you have asham, if you come tamei, a nazir becomes tamei, and then they have to restart their count again, you bring an asham nazir, you bring a chatas of, a bird that's a chatas, and you bring an olatof. Those are the three karbanos. If you complete the nazirus b'tahara, then you bring a shlamim, and that's where they use the hair, they cut the hair of the nazir, and they cook the shlamim with the hair of the nazir that's put in the fire. And you have a chatas and an ola that are brought at the end of the nazirut, all behemot. So now, when the Gemara says here, Isha shenadra behifshisha behemta, that she separated out her behemta, v'akar behifela, ba'al, and then her ba'al was made for it, maybe chatata of, v'ena maybe olata of. So we're talking about chatas of, and olata of, we must be talking about a nazira that became tmeya, right? Because we're talking about chatas of and olata of. So here she becomes tmeya, and she was ma'afrish, the karbanot, for her karbanet tuba. And yet, even after the ba'al was made for it, so it's as if the nazirut, she's not required to keep any more nazirut, to bring any more karbanot. Yet the Gemara says that she brings her chatzi. But why? We just said that you don't bring chatzi karbanot, or for chatzi nazirut, you don't bring karbanot. Why is she bringing a chata sa'ov here? The Amart, in karban chatzi nazirut, am I maybe a chatatov? Why is she bringing a korban here? Elamai, yesh karbanot chatzi nizirut. So what are you going to suggest? You're going to suggest, as opposed to a biased conclusion, that there is karbanot for half a nizirut? Then, shlosh behemos b'ayi le'etuye. She should have to bring, she should require three, le'etuye chatas ola u'shlamim. She should bring a full set of behemot. Now these are, chatas ola u'shlamim are the karbanot that are brought for a betara, right? The nizirut betara. So that you have to explain, that the Gemara is just saying it, meaning three, all three for Karban Tuman, it just mentions the other three, or it's really talking, it's just saying that if you're going to allow her to bring parts of her Karbanot for Tuma, that she should also bring Karbanot for the Tara part that she already did. She already had 15 days of Tara, she should also bring Karbanot, because this is the completion of her Nizirut. After she becomes Tara again, she's now completed her Nizirut based on Hafaras of her Baal, and therefore she should be able to bring Karbanot to the Tara. But either way, the Rambam brings both explanations as to what the Gemara is asking, but I think I'm not so important in what the Gemara is asking from which aspect of Tumah Tahara, but I think the Gemara is asking in general, well, if it's true that you bring Karbanot for Chatzi Nizirut, why are we only bringing one of the three Karbanot? Where are the other two Karbanot here? So the Gemara says, Gemara says, V'chatas lolam ain't karban l'chatzi nizirut. The Gemara says, no, el lolam, it's like Abai said, there's no karban when you only complete half a nizirut. V'chatas ha'ov dematya. Right, what about the chatas ha'ov? Why does the Braisa say to bring a chatas ha'ov? Mishum v'chatas ala safek. Right, there is only, generally cannot bring karbanot, obligatory karbanot, you cannot bring when voluntarily, or the suffix. So, for instance, a person can't just show up to the Mikdash and say, you know what, I want to bring a katas. Maybe I did something, let me bring a katas. Right? That doesn't happen. You can't do that. I want to voluntarily give a donation of a katas. You can't do that in the Mikdash. You can voluntarily give an ola or a shlamim. You can bring an ola or shlamim up tonight. Right? I mean, that depending what their need is, but you can bring them up tonight. The one korban you cannot do that with is any obligatory, like a katas, an asham. If there's are coming us, there is right an Ashram Talui, but even that, it's a machlokus, right? That is a machlokus. A Tanoim, whether you can bring an Ashram Talui, right, when you have no reason to bring an Ashram Talui. Ashram Talui is an instance where you have a suffix, where you have an issue at hand, and you have a suffix whether you violated the achatas, what would have been achatas. You have a suffix, and therefore you bring a carbon. Can you voluntarily just bring an Ashram and say, maybe I need one, maybe I sinned? Can you do that without having knowledge that you have that suffix issue? Right.
Here we do the lesson tells me you have a violate issue, it's just whether or not you...
Right. There's a mikra, there's a case in front of us. It's a question of you violate over there, when you bring an ashram, can you bring an ashram tali where you don't know if there is even an instance to bring it? Right. I don't know if that is that the case. So there, that's Makolas Tanai. Right. There's I forgot his name. He used to bring an ashram tali every day. 364 days, or the other days. All the weekdays, better. Anyway, so that's an Ashram Talui, but you can't bring it on. The one exception to that rule is Chatas Oaf. A bird that is brought on a Chatas can be brought to Suffolk. So if you have a Suffolk, when it comes to Chatas Oaf, when you have a Chatas Oaf, then we do allow you to bring the carbon. One of the reasons is because it's not eaten. Right? The Chatas Oaf has nobody who eats it. It all gets thrown out because the blood squirted on the Mizbeach, and then the rest is, you know, thrown out. So because of that, we allow Chatas Oaf to come onto the Suffolk. So the Gemara says, because Chatas Oaf is brought on a Safek, the way the Ron phrases it is because it's brought on the Kiel Kule Hai. Since we're so mekiel by Chatas Oaf to allow you to bring it even to Safek, to Allah Safek Nami Ba, Beina Nechelet, and it's not Inin, Ashi Nami Chatzin Zirut. Therefore, it comes even on a Chatzin Zirut. So even though generally we don't bring Karbanot for a Chatzin Zirut, but since a Chatas Oaf is already a type of Korban where we make dispensations, right? We give. We allow for certain rules to be broken where it comes to Chatas Oaf. I'm broken, but it has exceptions to other Karbanot where we allow you to bring it to Safek. And since we allow you to bring it to Safek, we're going to allow you to bring in even an instance where you have a Chatzin Nezirut. That's the way the Ron faces. That's the way the Ron faces it. All right. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Etevet has another question. This question is on Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going back to Rabbi Yochanan, that position of Abai, but a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Etevet, Yishash Nadrab Nazir, woman who took an Eder Nazirut, Vinitmate, and she became Tameh. Acharkach Hefelabala, and then her Baal was made for it. Mevia Chatasaof, Mevia Olatof. She brings the Chatasaof, but not the Olatof aspect of the Karban Tuma. Sounds like the price that we had before. The only difference is there she was drinking wine, right? There she might have, that she, I'm sorry, there she was Mafrish or Behema. Here she was Mitama. She became Tame. Right? Via Mar Tame for the Mitana, Venimir Fashi, and then if the reason, according to Biofana, is that you only had to be made for the Inui Nefesh aspect of the nether, not the Nani Yipesu. So let him be made fair the wine aspect of Nizirut, but leave the Tamei Mace in place. Dilma Miyayin Islotzaro. Right, Miyayin Islotzaro from the wine that is Inui Nefesh, Haferlat, he was made for it. Tumas Mace, Islotzaro. Tumas Mace is not an Inui Nefesh. Right, Lo Haferlat. So I'm right, Tumas Mace. I'm sorry, so then he could be able to break the nether Nizirut in half. They should be able to say what? That the Tuma aspect remains in place, but the Yayin, he's made for it because that's the Inui Nefesh. So you can ask me, why not answer up like we just did before, right? We just said that you can't break the Nazirus in half. So why doesn't the Gemara ask that? So answer that here, like they answered in the previous case. Just say that you can't break the Nazirus in half, and that'll be the answer. Now the Gemara's going to go on and give a different answer. Alright, so the one possibility is, there are two possibilities, the Rav brings both down. One is that we have a better answer, and that Tumas Mace is also Inui Nefesh. That's one possibility, and that's what the Ron says, which we're going to say in a second. So that's what the Ron says, one possibility. The other possibility is that's not true. Whereas wine and grape products would be half in the zeros, breaking in the zeros in half, Tumah is not an integral part of Nazirus. And how do we know that? Because there's a type of Nazirus that excludes Tumah. What is that? That's Nazirus Shimshon. Nazirus Shimshon is where someone is only a Nazir min Ayayin, from only from wine and grape products, not a Nazir min Tumah. So there is, we see from that, that Tumah is not an integral part of Nazirut. I mean, it's a byproduct of Nazirut, but not an integral part of it. So therefore, when you were being made fair, the Tumah makes part of it, it may not undermine the fact that you are a Nazir. That might leave you at the aspect of not calling it a Chatzi Nazirut anymore.
But why don't they ask a different question? Why don't they say, the Baal is made from Mikan Uhaba, and not... he's an Ogre Meikara.
Therefore,
she had 15 days or 10 days of Nazirus, and she was over on the Nazirus. So therefore, I mean, the fact that he's Ogre the Netter, the fact that he's made for the Netter now,
right,
doesn't cancel out the fact.
Right. But that she was, you're assuming that the Chatas, the Ola, and the Ushim that are brought for Tumah are to rectify the fact that she is Tamei, or as a kapara for the fact that she's Tamei. The reason she brings those karbanot is to start
the Nazirus.
Right, to start the Nazirus over again. And here she doesn't have any need to restart the Nazirus.
Chatas, however,
right, implies, usually, but that's the Gemara and Nazir, we'll get to it.
Probably why you bring the Chatas Ov.
Bisafik, alright, maybe. That's a good point. It's a good answer to why we bring the Chatas Ov, because maybe that aspect of Chatas is there. To be honest with you, in the Mishnah and the Nazirus, we're going to see that there are those that say that why does the Chatas brought by Nazirut? Is because Shitsirat's Momin Ayayin, because she restricted himself from wine. So those that say the Chatas is an aspect because of the wine.
That's when she brings it, the Karbonos with the Tara.
Right.
Why is she bringing Chatas when she brings
it? Right, Tumah, right. It's probably because of that, that violation.
Over.
Right. Right. So maybe that's a good,
she.
Alright. So maybe that's a good answer. It may be interesting why she brings the Chatas Misafik. Why not? Because she violated, she had some Tumah, it was a violation of some sort. Although, truthfully, the Karbanos are brought to restart the Nazirut count, and therefore she doesn't need to do it anymore, and that's why we don't obligate her to bring the Karbanos. Otherwise, you need all of them. But you're praising it, she should bring the Ola and Shlamim as well. You're saying maybe we divide the Kabbalah. The Chatos is to rectify that which he did wrong in being Metamei L'Metim, and then the Olah and the Asham and the Olah to restart the Nazirus Betara. I have to think about it more, but it's an interesting possibility. All right, so now the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Tumas Meis Navi Ispot Tzaro. Tumas Meis is also Inu Nefer. Why? Dichtiv Achayitain El Libo. The one who is alive will take this into heart. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, my dechti b'achai yitain alibo. The one who is alive will take this to heart. The yisbod yisbedun lei. If you are, you eulogize others, they will eulogize you. Yibkun, yibkun lei. If you cry for others, for other people's losses and pains, they will cry for you. Yikaver, if you bury others, yikruvunei, they'll bury you. So I mean that there is a certain social aspect of, I don't know, called quid pro quo, but if a person takes an energy route, then now is precluded from being asek b'nekdin, won't be able to do that which is normally socially acceptable to, you know, pay a shivakal, to, you know, help go to the funeral, all these aspects that you're going to be precluded from, that would also, right, preclude you from having that done for yourself. And that's an inu nefesh. And therefore, even for the tumas eis aspect, we would say it's inu nefesh, and therefore the husband could be made for the nether.
And one would then think about what Rav Meir was talking about. Was he talking about the inu nefesh of a person in this world, knowing that he's not going to get these services when he dies? Or is it inu nefesh of the nefesh?
No, it's not.
Yeah. I think, yeah, now, I'm assuming, it's an interesting question, but I think what he's saying, but it's the right, it's like, yeah, the damage now. So a person knowing that they will not be, that there's a possibility that people will not take care of them when they pass away, will not be happy.
Is it referring to the future? The person is referring to the future, inu nefesh.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, the inu nefesh is now because of the, what it does.
Foreknowledge.
Right, exactly. Right, that's a possibility, because then it would answer the question, is there such thing as, do we look at inu nefesh in the future? But it's not here. The inu nefesh is immediate, but it's the psychological pain of knowing that which will take place in the future. All right, next Mishnah. Koneim, Shani Nene Lebriot. All right, so this Mishnah is interesting. It's pretty straightforward. The Mishnah itself is straightforward. The Gemara will be pretty straightforward. But the Ran, there's a Ran here that begins right below the Mishnah and continues most of the way through the next day, daf tomorrow. So what is the Ran has to deal with the fact that how do we reconcile this Mishnah with the earlier statement of Shmuel and also with the Mishnah we had earlier in the first Mishnah in the Parak. So we'll read it simply, and then we'll go and deal with the issues that are will be questions with it. Konim Sheni Nena Libriot. She says, I am restricted from getting benefit from anybody, any humans, right? Eno Yachol Lafer. He cannot be Mayfair. Then the cannot be made better. Because she can get benefit, the leket shikha upeya. Because she can get from leket shikha upeya. Leket shikha upeya don't belong to anybody. Since they don't belong to anybody, she can get her sustenance or be sustained through leket shikha upeya. I read it now as one statement. The Gemara will question whether this is the answer to the first statement. Right, now, Konim Kohanim Levim Nenim Li. She says that Kohanim and Levim cannot get any benefit from me. Yitlu Al Karchol. That Kohanim Levim can come take their Truma and Meiser against her will, right? Because she doesn't have the right to withhold the Matas Kahuna and the Matas Levim. They don't belong to her. And since they don't belong to her, she doesn't have a right to restrict them. What she can restrict is, that's the next line, Kohanim Elu Levim Elu. She can restrict specific Kohanim or specific Levim, then Emily from getting Hana from her, then Yitzhak Lacherim, that other Kohanim Levim can take it. So she doesn't have a right. When you have Matas Kahuna, and you have Truma and Maestros, they don't belong to you, but what does belong to you? Tova Sana, the ability to give it to whichever Kohen or Levi that you want. So if she simply says, no Kohen or Levi can get any benefit from me, then she's restricted all Kohanim and Levim. That she can't do because the Matas Kahuna don't belong to her, and any Kohen or Levi can come and take it. But if she...
He's talking about the wife over here.
This
is Karfur.
Right, although, Nenemli. Alright, it's a good question. I don't know. I'm assuming it's talking about a wife, because that's what the whole context of my mission is here. I see that, I see what you're saying. When I was reading it, I said that Al-Karfal, but I should say Al-Karfa, right, if it was her. Okay, so let's just, I don't think it matters. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about Al-Faro, we're talking about the ability to do such a thing. Alright, so now, or, on the other hand, if you specify which Kohanim and which Levim, that is something within your rights. The right is to determine which Kohanim and Levim gets it. So if you restrict certain Kohanim and Levim getting from an offer you, that would restrict them from taking the Trumas and Maestros from you, because that is within your rights to determine who gets it. So therefore, other Kohanim and Levim can come and get the Trumas and Maestros. Now, the Gemara says, Alma. So from our Mishnah, you can infer from the first line in our Mishnah, show what that the mitzana mitile that she can get benefit from him. Nichlal the baal lav nichlal briosu. That the husband is not a part of the brios. Meaning that the first line that the Gemara is reading, the first line of the Mishnah is saying konim sheninena lebrios eno yachol lehafer. The husband cannot be mayfair. End of sentence. End of statement. Why can the husband not be Mayfair? So what's the Gemara's assumption at this point? The Gemara's assumption at this point is that when she says, Briot, that I will not get benefit from any human or any other people, means everyone except her husband. She means, outside of my husband, I will not get benefit from everybody. And therefore, we don't allow him to be Mayfair because her husband can provide it. I mean, her husband can buy food from everybody or anyone, and then that will be matir her to eat the foods. So then the Gemara says, well, hey, Masefa, what are you going to do with the next line in the Mishnah, which says, the reason it sounds like he's not Mayfair is because she can get, if she's, let's say, if she's an Aniyah, she's poor, the reason that she can, he cannot be made for the Nether is because she can get it from Leket Shechah Peah. Aval Mitabal, lo Akwa, but if it came to the husband, she cannot eat it. Alma. It sounds like the husband's included in the nether, and therefore she has to go to Leket Shechah and Peyo. So Amar Ula, so there are two possibilities of answering this. And we're going to go through one or two. Amar Ula, the Olam, Lav Bechlal Briotu. The husband is excluded. Be'od, Ein Yechol Afer, Mibnei Shechol Aleinu Bechlal Shechah and Peyo. That's Be'od. The Mishnah is saying he cannot be made fair, one, because she can get it from the husband. And she's likely to get benefits. Be'od. And in addition to that, even if the husband's too poor to support her, and now she needs to get from other people, she can use leket, shechah, and peah. So that's the way Ula explains the mission. Ula explains the mission that the husband's excluded from the term briot. So if he's excluded from the term briot, that's why you cannot be made for the nether. But what do you do? Why do you need leket, shechah, and peah? Leket, shechah, and peah is just to let you know that even if the Baal cannot do it himself, you still don't let him be made for the nether because she has the possibility of going to Leket, Shekha, and Peah. Rabbi Amar, the Olam, Baal, Bechlal, Briotu. Rabbi says, no, they're always that the husband is included under the term Briot. Matam Kamar, Matam Inu Yecholah Aper, why can't the husband be made for the nether? B'nei Shecholah Le'anot, Leket, Shekha, and Peah. That the second line of mission is the reason why he can't be made for it. He can't be made for it, not because she can get from the Baal instead, but she can go out and collect Leket, Shekha, and Peah. Then she'll be entitled to it. Rav Nachman Amar, the Olam, Baal, Olav, the Klav, Briotu. The Baal is excluded from the term Briot. The Hafiktani, Nitgarsha, you call the Enot, Leket, Shekha, and Peah. All right, so that helps her, in that if you're not made for the nether, then that helps her as long as she's married, because the Baal is made for the nether. So when the Baal is made for the nether, the Baal cannot be made for the nether because he's not included under Briot, so therefore the nether doesn't affect her. But if they get divorced, the husband will now become like one of the Briot, will become like any other person to her. And therefore now she's in a position where she can't get benefit from anyone because her Baal is no longer outside of the, or excluded from the term Briot. And the Gemara says, nevertheless, the Baal cannot be made for today because of that future issue, because even in the future she has an alternative. But what's that alternative? Leket, Shifcha, and Peah. All right, so the Gemara reads pretty simply. I mean, it's not, you have Abaye, Rava, Ula, Rava, and Rav Nachman trying to explain whether the Baal is included or not included. Right? And each of them, Rava says that the Baal is not included, and so does Rav Nachman, each for a different reason. Right? And Rava says, no, the Baal is included in Briot, and Leket, Shekha, Peah is the reason. The problem is, right, and this we have to deal with, is that the Gemara earlier on, right, well, or the Mishnah early on said that by a chen bani, she restricts herself from getting fruit from a specific chen bani, and that chen bani is the only one that her husband gets benefit for, or gets credit from. He said over there that she can't be made for, he can be made for the nether. So why don't we say over there, let her go get Shlecha Shefa and Peah? Like, why in that case do we allow the Baal to be made for the nether, and yet in this case we're not letting the Baal, we're not giving him any room over here to be made for the nether?
So Leket Shekhan Peah is also not always available. Leket Shekhan Peah is only available certain seasons.
Okay, good. That's one. Okay, good. Very good. That's going to become It's going to become one of the issues about the. It's going to be Bimot Shamim. All right, that is going to be an issue. We'll come to that. That's a good one.
Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan. This is Rabbi Yossi.
Right. So if Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan, that's Shmuel. The Chenvani is the Mishnah. So you have a problem with the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah earlier on. The Chenvani. Issue is a Mishnah, so you're going to say that's Rabbi Yossi, right? But this Mishnah is also Rabbi Yossi. Hey, they're explaining this Mishnah, which is also Rabbi Yossi.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that help you? All right, so now, if you're going to look in the...
I'm assuming that when it says if you're not going to eat the it's based on, you know, that fish, but he should still be, but he could still be made for it based on, they're not.
Oh, over here he's saying it's not eating nefesh, but it is ben
ovena. It bothers him that she, you know, that she.
Right.
Assuming the point of the means that that he's included in the.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem strange. It seems strange because why is restricting from a chenvani eating nefesh, whereas restricting from everybody in the world is not eating nefesh.
Right.
It's logic is backwards then, right?
A more limited restriction would seem to be
a less of an eating nefesh, right? All right, so now if you look in the Ran, Ran asks a question, and this Ran goes through, it's a very interesting Ran, because he brings in a Yerushalmi, and he deals with it. All right, so this is, the Gemara, we've done with the Gemara, I just want to deal with this issue, because it's an issue that all the Rishonim deal with over here. At this point, let's do the, before we do that, we'll do something in the Rush. The Rush is Yish Lomar, in the Rush. Yish Lomar in the Rush. Now, I don't know for you guys. Do you guys have highlighted? Do you have highlighted rushes?
Yes, they do.
Okay, they do. So now we have, where it says,
what percentage?
Nitgarsha Yechol Hanot, but like a Shechol Peva. You see that? Nitgarsha? Right? So right
here.
Yeah, it's near. So before that, about four lines before that, there's a Yish Lomar, but Yish Lomar.
Yeah.
You see that? You got it?
Yeah.
So I would say it's about a third of the way from the bottom for you. Is that down right to you? You got it? Yish Lomar did La'el?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yish Lomar did La'el, the Asra Perot Chenvani Alea, Fafilim Einata Shalom, right? Even though they're not belonging to the Chenvani now, Jumi the Peros Medina, Hilkach, Afilu Kan'an Habau, Nimenu Asura Behen. Even if the Baal buys him from him, he does not, right? I mean, this is like the money laundering scheme, right? He does not make them Mutar now. Aval asra hanat olam aleh muter peperoteyem achar shekanan aval. She restricts the peros olam on her after the rest of the world on her. Then after her husband buys them, it's okay. Right. So that's he differentiates right between when she restricts the peros of a specific chenvani, right, or a peros of a specific medina, the husband's ownership does not change that. Whereas when you say she restricts getting benefits. Right, the difference is over there. She says, I will not take peros from this chenvani. I will not take peros from this medina. Therefore, when the husband buys them, there's still peros from that chenvani, and there's still peros from that medina. And therefore, her husband can't, you know, again, launder those peros and make them mutarker. Whereas if she says, I will not get benefit from anybody in this world, excluding her husband, right, what's different? That's different because once her husband owns them, she's not getting benefit from anybody else. Her husband got benefit from someone else. Her husband is providing her the benefit. When her husband provides her the benefit, that's not a violation of the nether. That's the first distinction that the Rosh draws between what's the difference between peros and money, and here, why is the Baal able to change the status over here, whereas not over there? Over there, she specifically specified peros. Over here, she talked about individuals or people. So here, the Baal can rectify it because the people are no longer in the picture when her husband gets possession of it. Over there, when she talks about the peros came from the chenvani, and the peros came from that medina, no matter who brings them to her. And that's what the problem is. That's the first distinction the Rosh makes. But then the Rosh asks the question, Miu kashin gabi chenvani, am I yefer? Why should my chenvani should be made? Bar yechol henot mi leket shechlam peyam, right? The question that we ask. Why not say the same thing by chenvani as you say over here, leket shechlam peyam, you can't be made from. The Yesh Lomar, this is Shaul's answer, the Yesh Lomar, to my Rebbe Motak Shamim. Our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, was talking about a case where it was the winter. The Leket Shech Kampeah. There is no Leket Shech Kampeah. Exactly what you said, Shaul. The Rosh solved the problem by making Ukimta in our Mishnah, saying the first Mishnah is a case where she can't get a hold of Leket Shech Kampeah. Had she been able to get a hold of Leket Shech Kampeah, they wouldn't be able to make fair even by a chenvani, or even by peros from Medina, it doesn't matter, but by chenvani, you won't be able to make fair because there was leket shechlam peyam. Oh, that just happens to be a case where there was no leket shechlam peyam. That's the Rosh's answer.
She lived in a krach.
Where there wasn't the ability to get to. Again, the Rosh says, what Shaul was saying, that it's be motak shamim. The Rosh says something like what you're saying, which is that it's a case where she doesn't have, or she doesn't have already. She's already collected versus she hasn't collected like a shekel. If she has like a shekel in her possession already, that's enough to say that there's no ina nefesh, right? Whereas in the case where she doesn't have it, either because she can't get access to it or because it's multiple shamim, then that will not allow, it will not be an out. So you could say it like you're saying, not that it's literally the multiple shamim, but a time where she can't get access to like a shekel. Right, so let's see this in the Ron now. It says, the Ron, if you go 7 lines from the bottom. 7 lines from the bottom. It's like almost the center of the line. Kasha tuba. Vikasha tuba. You see that? No, the line there. Vikasha tuba. It says, Vikasha tuba. This is strong or many questions. It's the Rova. Migare brios ubal, mi peros kenvani. Why are the brios and the husband any different than the peros of a storkeep? Shane Panasotolomi, a minute where the husband only gets his, you know, credit from him. It's not yea fair. Mishamini nefesh. Rafilo the Rabbi Yossi. It's inu nefesh. And even according to Rabbi Yossi. The Teretz Harav, I don't know, this is Harav Meir Bar Shneur, I don't know if it's Rav Meir, Aram Bar Shneur, Zichrona Levecha, the Hacham Shalakta Leket Shechopeya, she already collected Leket Shechopeya, Yechot Hilenot, and she can get benefit from it, Mimeno, Tani Yecholah Hilenot Leket Shechopeya, Vihilkach Lo Yefer, therefore she cannot be made for over here. Ule'el, the Mishnah before, like just like what the Rosh said, Vashenidra, Bimotak Shamin, Stays with Mav, Vishiev Shalal Lilkot, and she's unable to get Leket Shechopeya, Mishum Hachi Yefer. So I don't know if his answer is exactly the same as the Rosh, that it's the Milotam Shamim, it's unable to get it, or based on the first part of his answer, which is that she already has it in possession, like it's Shechlam Peah, means that once she has it in possession, we can say that it's no longer Inyan Nefesh. If it's not in her possession, either because it's Milotam Shamim, or because she can't get access to it, then she is no longer, it's no longer considered an ability to get out of Inyan Nefesh. Now you have Inyan Nefesh, and therefore you can be made for the nether. Now if you skipped, down to the second to last line in the run. Okay, that answers up our main question. The second issue is something that I said simply in Rav Nachman's position, which is not so simple, which is that Rav Nachman says that the Baal is not included in briyot. It's not included in all the briyot. When she restricts the briyot on her, her husband's excluded. That's why he can't be made for the nether. But Rav Nachman says if he divorces, then the husband becomes part of the briyot. So what do you see from that? You see from that that at the time of the neder, the husband was not included. Yet later on, the husband can fall into the neder later on, which is an amazing thing. I mean, at the point of the neder, he was not within the definition of the neder. And yet later on, he comes into the definition of the neder. So Alma, if you look at this... Yes, we had a question about Kalos and Neder versus Amiras and Neder. Right, your dad, yeah, he brought you Yerushalmi. The Ran brought you Yerushalmi earlier. You're remembering it. It's very good. You're remembering Yerushalmi that the Ran brought earlier on. All right, Mari talks about your day, yeah, and you're already Yerushalmi. Well, who's considered that?
I just remember there was something.
Right, so the Ran did bring you Yerushalmi. We're going to see again, the Ran quotes it again here, that Yerushalmi, there's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When do you define when the Yerushalmi are? Do you define it at the time of the Neder or the time of the Chalos Neder? For instance, if she takes a delayed Neder, she says, in 30 days, I am restricted and call your day, yeah. Now, when do we say Yor De'ayam? Do we say the Yor De'ayam based on what she said the neder, or when the neder's chal in 30 days? That's my focus with the Kibbutz Shmuel. From that one, what do you see? That you see that even later on, someone can fall into the neder. That even later on, you can fall into the definition of the neder. So if you look at the Ran, it's the second to last line in the Ran, first word in line, but Kamash Malan, the kids, your name, Garshi, Yasser Baal, the Yot, the Chal, Yisrael, the Yot. That after they're divorced, the husband will fall into his right. If this is the explanation of this Gemara, we have a Yerushalmi that says, the person who takes a neder, that she will not benefit from Yor De'ayam after 30 days, or anybody does, doesn't have to be her, but Yeshikan Adam, Shebishat Yidro, there's a person at the time of the Neder, whom Yor De'ayam is a seafarer at that time. Well, Akram he came, called him Shloshim, but before the 30 days are up, he comes back, right, and asks him, Yoshri Yavash, and turns to the, comes a land dweller. The Tali Le Hai Dina, who pulled to the Rabbi Shmuel, for Rabbi Akiva. That is in Machlokis, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva. Right? That, whether the, when is the effective date of the definition of a nether? Is it the time you say the nether, or is it the time of the chalos and nether? Vikaimelon, we are, the Zan Kaimelon Karubi Akiva, us are both, Kevin Yor De Yam Shat Nidro. That we look at the time of the nether. At the moment of the nether, we look at what's happening. So that'll be a problem here. Here you have Rav Nachman saying, at the time of the nether, what was the husband's status? He was not Bichlal Abriyot. So that why is it when he gets divorced later on, should he be able to drop into the, right, the, be encompassed in the nether? If you look at the Amiras and Nether, the Amiras and Nether was now, the Amiras and Nether, he was not part of the Abriyot. Why should it be that he's able to fall in? Alright. Based on this, the Ran says that the Babli actually argues on the Yerushalmi. So if you look at this, little foam heart, if you skip down in the Ran, in these narrow lines in the Ran, towards where the Gemara ends, actually where the Gemara ends on this Amud here, we go right across from there, it says a Lufum Hai Perusha. See that, a Lufum Hai Perusha? It's about a line or two up above where the Gemara ends. A Lufum Hai Perusha is the first word on the line here. Lufum Hai Perusha de Parshinon, lo et Hai Yerushalmi ki Gemara Dulan. This Yerushalmi does not go like our Gemara. Because the way we explained from Nachman that the husband can fall into the nether afterwards, that is against Yerushalmi or against Rabbi Akiva. Right? The ha-hacha mashkin and the heat about la bichlal briyot b'shash in Nidro, even though the husband's not included in the time of the nether, feel hacha kishin nidgar shasurabo, b'nisha chazal yod bichlal briyot, ama la batra mira balachod azlina. We don't only go after the time of the nether, when she actually was Botzea the nether, when she said the nether, we don't just go then. B'chit heima, Rav Nachman mukilal masnisin k'rabi shmal. Oh, so why don't we just say that Rav Nachman's explaining our Mishnah, and he says our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, then we won't have a problem. That's a Ba'ashat Shanedr Chalba. Shmuel contained in Garsha Surah Levala. Leta, the Hastam Lantana Bahai Pirkek Rabbi Akiva. We have later on the Mishnayos in our Mishnayos go like Rabbi Akiva. And they are so dim like Rabbi Akiva. So we know that the Mishnayos here are going according to Rabbi Akiva's position and not according to Rabbi Yishmael's position. So the Rod says, let's skip down a bunch more lines here. In these wider lines that we're in right now, if you go to 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down, the line starts Atik Yerushalmi. See that? Atik Yerushalmi, Venir Ali. looking for the words venerely. See that? I'm down in those words, venerely. See that? Venerely. The leka le mismach baha agamara d'mei marava. We can't be somech on the Yerushalmi. Kevin d'marilan, t'pligala, our gemara, our gzenit. Says the machlok is babli in Yerushalmi. Comes to machlok is babli in Yerushalmi. Who do we paskin like? We paskin like the babli. Ulufum gamrin, asker, ben b'nei adam shayu b'chalal l'shanu b'shat edener, ben b'nei adam shayu b'chalal l'shanu b'achar mikan. That, according to our Gemara, people are restricted when you take a neder, like the Yorde Ayam, whether they were Yorde Ayam at the time that you said the neder, whether they're Yorde Ayam at the time of the close of neder, both of those people are included in the neder. According to our Gemara, it holds like Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't matter. Like there, the Yishan says, Machlok is when it's Chal, at the time of the neder, or at the Chalos of the neder. Our Gemara says, at either point, if you're part of the neder, you're included. Right, so he says, why? Ugmar dilan svirlan, di bichlau b'lashon b'nei adam, kulu bichlau. That when you look at Lashon, our Gemara says, all you look at is Lashon b'nei adam. Lashon b'nei adam says, anybody who is included at the time I said the neder, anybody who's included at the time that I, the chalos neder happens, that's all included in what I meant. And therefore, everything's included according to our Babli. Rabbi Akiva, the milse barta drusha the cry. Rabbi Akiva's position has to do with the way he stories the cry. Daikle hachi. He was from Daikaki. His issue is not in Lashon B'nei Adam. He's talking about, Rishami lo svir v'yachi. Right? And Rishami doesn't hold to this. Oh, sorry, there are no different yorda yam. Adi lahanu dami yorda yam shat ikra nidro kamikave. And therefore, we will pass them like the Babli, that everything's included, both sides of it, even though Yishalmi disagrees, and Yishalmi brings down the position of Rabbi Akiva. Right?
Rabbi Akiva says, Shas Amir, Shas Amir also?
Yes. Yes, Rabbi Akiva says, Shas Amir also. Right. So now, that the Ron says, we skipped down about three lines from where we are in the Ron, there's a dot. There's a little dot in the Ron. It says, "Hi hu, perusha the Yerushalmi." This is the explanation of the Yerushalmi. Man v'lom afarish lehachi lo sever lo midin. Whoever doesn't explain it that way doesn't know anything. All right, Gemar Dilan. Sevirin lo tayi b'ham milso klal el b'shom bnei adam shkulan tichklal. And that is the way the Rambam paskins. That's the think of the Rambam zal. That's the way the Rambam paskins. Paskins like our Gemara that it doesn't matter. Even at Shas Neder or Kalos Neder, whenever you come into the inclusion of the Neder, you're included. And the Ron's explaining it because our Gemara cares about Lashon B'nei Adam. And Lashon B'nei Adam, when you say Yorde Yam, you mean anybody's Yorde Yam anytime. Whether it's the time of your Neder, the time of Chalos Neder, later on, it's Garsha, because part of Briyot, that's all included here. But the Ramban argues, and that's what the Ron has to deal with. Efshar Ramban Zal lo chalak. Ramban Zal does not bring, it brings from Akiva Alacha. I'm skipping down in the Ron to where it says Halacha Yudzayin. You see that Halacha Yudzayin in the Ron? In the widest lines in the Ron, three lines down into the Ron. It says, Ramban Zal. Ramban Zal quotes Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha, he brings down Rabbi Akiva. He says, Ramban Zal lo chalak of the fact that our Babli says it's both. That even at the time of Amira, it's not saying that Halacha like Rabbi Akiva only, but it's even like Rabbi Akiva, that at Shat Amira, you're restricted. That din is not apparent or not found in our Gemara. But not to be so much on the Yishalmi of Halacha to say that only like Rabbi Akiva, but rather to say that Rabbi Akiva is an extension or in addition to what our Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva will be included here, or that's the din that both will be included both at Shas Amira and at Shas Chalus and Neder, or later on, anytime later on, you're included. If you come under the rubric of the Neder, you are included under the Neder. I guess that's just an interesting Ron just dealt with. But otherwise, it's a pretty straightforward Gemara dealt with two issues. How do we reconcile our Gemara here with the Gemara with our Mishnah earlier on? How come over here we say, like in Shechem Peah, then you can't be Mefer? And yet in the first Mishnah we said, by Ten Bani, you could be Mefer. We said that's exactly the difference, like in Shechem Peah. Over here it's available to her, there it was not available to her. Why over there? Because the Baal, right? Why over there, if the Baal takes possession of the fruits, does it not help her? Over here, it does help her. So over there, she restricted the fruits themselves, the fruits of this Chenmani, the fruits of this Medina. A husband owning them doesn't change the fact that they were the fruits of this Chenmani, the fruits of this Medina. In our mission over here, she's restricting Hana from people. Once it comes from her husband, she's not getting Hana from those people. She's getting Hana from her husband. So that answered those two stirot. The last thing we dealt with was the Ron brought down to Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says it's Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, when do we say, when do we look at the definition of a term that's used in the Neder? When do we look at it? Rabbi Akiva says, B'shas can be used in the Neder, and Rabbi Shmuel says, B'shas follows the Neder. Rabbi Nachman here comes and makes a statement that seems to ignore totally Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we would pass in Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, you pass in like Rabbi Akiva, would say, B'shas can be used. And here Rabbi Nachman says that when the Baal gets divorced, he falls into the Briot. He falls into the, under the, because the Briot, so that's clearly not like Rabbi Akiva, so that's what the Ran goes on to say, that our Gemara argues on the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli believes, the Bavli deals totally from a different aspect and says that anything that's under Lashon Bnei Adam, anything that you would have thought, anything that is stated, Lashon Bnei Adam means to include it both Bamiras in there, Chalos in there, any other time later on, you become into this category, you're included according to the Bible. That argues on the Yerushalmi and disagrees that it's a Machlok, they say that everything's included. Yerushalmi says no, it's a Machlok, it's a Rekim and Shmuel, based on the Ksukim, their Medayik, which way? Our Gemara says we don't care about the Limud because we're talking about Lashon Bnei Adam. Lashon Bnei Adam says any time whatsoever. All right, let's copy it.